One creation is startled by the law of nature, and the history of the universe repeats itself practically in the same way. The mundane wranglers waste time with archaeological excavations without searching into the vital necessities of life. After getting an impetus in spiritual life, Sri Narada Muni, even though a mere child, did not waste time for a single moment with economic development. Although he passed through towns and villages, mines and industries, he continually went on to progressive spiritual emancipation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the repetition of history which happened some hundreds of millions of years ago, and is said herein only the most important factors of history are picked up to be recorded in this transcendental literature. So the text again, Spritan, Spritan Janapadam Satra, Pura Brahma Vajakaram Keta Koravata Vatischa Vananu Pavanani Cha. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forests. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadavatai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanavane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastadhyade. Prabhupada was saying that history repeats itself. Generally, people are in the modes of material nature are thinking this time it's going to be better. It wasn't so good the last time, but this time it's going to be different. So that's called illusion. But people are living in illusion. So that's what material existence means, to live in illusion. Matirana Krishna Padataksato Va Mito Vipadyeta Griha Vratanam Adam Govir Vishatam Tamizram Punak Punascharvata Charvanana. People are taking shelter in the material world. Everyone has their shelter. Griha means house. So the first house everyone takes shelter of is their body. And we're trying to create a body which is quote, healthy, so that we can have a nice body to live in. It won't cause us so many disruptions. And if we can achieve that, then we want a nice family, nice community, nice nation. We want everyone to be happy and live peacefully and happily in the material world. So this is called Ratham, Griha Ratham, making a vow to spend all our energy to making things nice in the material world. Put flowers on the grave. It's a dead body. The insects are eating it, the worms are eating it, but we want to make it nice. We put flowers on top of it. Then everything's okay. So that's material life. Punat punat charvita charvanana. Doing the same thing over and over again, trying to make something which is not very nice. We're trying to make it nice. And what is the basic principle? Adanta go bira vishitam tamizram. That the senses are dictating to us, and we're thinking, if I can serve my senses, everything will be nice. That there's just a few dictations, I serve them, then everything will be fine, and I'll be happy and peaceful, satisfied, I did a good thing. I serve my senses, now I'm a good person. I'll be peaceful now. No, kamadi nam katida katida palitas durni teishas teisham jatamayi na karuna na trapi yak shri jaitam us yak shri jaitam sharanam upustandi. Two words wrong. Kamadinam katida katida palitas durdesha te shamayi jata na karuna na upushanti. that in so many different ways we're trying to make this body happy. The body's saying to eat, and of course, we want to eat the nicest thing. The body wants to sleep, we want to sleep in the nicest place. The body says, mate, who knows what that means nowadays, but everyone wants to think satisfying the mating propensity somehow or another. And of course, it spends so much effort trying to make our body look nice, trying to make it healthy, trying to put money in the bank, trying to make people like us or destroy our enemies. Defense is very complicated in Kali Yuga. There's no end to it. People are either looking for a sense gratification, which they can never find, practically speaking in Kali Yuga. Senses are never satisfied. And trying to protect the little that they have, putting up gates around their house with electronic sensors. Even a mosquito enters, the alarm goes off. So much anxiety. What is the price of the Australian dollar today? What is health care? Is it still all right? So many different anxieties. How to maintain this body, which is going to die anyhow. But we don't want it to die today. We want it to die tomorrow. And in the meantime, struggling for a little satisfaction, a little relief for the incessant desires that are coming to our mind and the senses which are always dictating to us, a little relief that we can take 5 minutes and feel a little satisfied. Oh, 5 minutes rest. And back again to trying to serve the senses in so many different ways. Kamadinam katida katida palitas dorni deshas teshami jata nakaruna natrapa no pushandi. Yet Sri Gaitam, now I'm giving this all up. Love of Buddhas, because I've obtained some intelligence. Tam aran, sharanam aranam, nikshatni, and yeah, the next one is, I'm giving it all up, I'm taking shelter of you, abhayam, without fear. I am taking shelter of Krishna. So that's the whole point. All this material nature will do the same thing all the time. It is very consistent. Although, especially in Kali Yuga, we're thinking that by some electronic advancement, everything will become nicer. As people's memories decrease, we're thinking as the memory in the computer increases, everything will be better. As our hard drive diminishes. So we're thinking if we can put the hard drive into the computer, then it'll last forever. So in Kali Yuga, Tatas Chanudinam Dharma, day after day, religious principles are diminishing. People have forgotten the purpose of life. They don't know that Tevidu Swarthikatini Vishnu, they don't know that they're supposed to attain Krishna consciousness. They don't know they're a spiritual being. They don't know the aim of life is to become aware of Krishna. Instead, they want money. Money, money, sweeter than honey. They're mad after money. If you get money, then everything's all right. Your life is perfect. So economic development, as explained in this verse, has been going on since time immemorial. Everyone wants an extra banana. The monkey has one banana, but he thinks it's more secure to have two bananas. So everyone is looking for another banana for security, working so hard to get the extra banana. And then when they get the extra banana, they find out they're still not secure. They need another banana. And what are we going to do with banana? We're going to try to eat it. Sense gratification. And then we eat the banana and we're still hungry. We're still not satisfied because it wasn't our organic banana. So then we need an organic banana. But they're very expensive, so we have to work twice as hard. And it's very hard to get an organic banana. So the whole aim of life, which is understood by dharma, namely liberation, is missed. People don't know that the aim of life is to get out of the body concept of life. They're thinking their problem is that they're not aware enough of their body. They're not serving their body enough. They got to do it more. More scientifically. More energetically. They think that they haven't eaten enough or eaten the right things. They think they haven't slept enough or slept in the right place. They haven't had enough sex or different varieties of sex. Or they're still not secure, so they need a bigger fence, and then their life will be perfect. But they don't realize that they're actually a spiritual being, and no matter how much you serve the material senses, the soul will never be satisfied. Maybe for a moment it'll be experience less agitation coming from the body, and we call that happiness. But that's not real happiness, it's less misery. But the more one absorbs oneself in serving the body, then the more the body becomes agitated, the more misery we feel, and the less it's possible to satisfy the senses and feel a sense of peace that they're satisfied temporarily. You can take the fish and give it a nice, beautiful home on the shore. You can give it a very beautiful fish wife with nice little fish children, a fishy job, and so many other things. But still, because it's out of the water, it won't feel satisfied. So no matter what we do in the material world to try to become happy, it's not possible to achieve that through simply increasing our material objectives. So Narada Muni, he's walking around, and more or less it's the same thing that's going on now is going on in the other creation when Narada Muni was present. So we think that somehow or another in the future, everything will be nice, that we won't have to work anymore, we'll simply get up in the morning and look at the newspaper, how everything is nice, and then go back to sleep again. We'll take breakfast, go back to sleep, in time to wake up for lunch. Press a button, whatever lunch we want, meal will be there, and we'll take it. And we'll go back to sleep in time for dinner. So, eating, sleeping, and of course mating, and then everything will be perfectly there because we won't have to worry about our body because it'll be made out of plastic. Everything will be replaced by plastic, plastic heart, plastic lungs, plastic brain, everything plastic. So we won't have to worry about defending, because if anything goes wrong, then we just get a spare part, that's all. We replace it with a spare part. And our whole life is just full of eating, sleeping, mating, and of course everyone becomes a James Bond, because it's all, we're living in a virtual reality. People are living some kind of dream already, and they're dreaming of living in a better dream. They're not satisfied with the present dream. They're thinking that we can create a better dream, that's all. Then we'll be happy. Now our dream is a nightmare, more or less. So we're thinking if we improve the nightmare, then it'll become very pleasant. But the whole aim of life is to wake up out of the nightmare into the reality, which is actually what we're looking for. Because the reality is ananda, chinmaya, rasa, pratibhavita, abhis. It's full of bliss, it's full of knowledge, and it's eternal. But people don't know that, and therefore they're trying to improve something which will never be improved, which will simply go on, not only life after life, but millennium after millennium, creation after creation. It'll always be the same thing. There's no real past, present, and future. And the past, people are eating, people were sleeping, they were defending billions of years ago. And presently, people are eating, they're sleeping, they're mating and defending. And in billions of years from now, they'll still be eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But people don't know that. Therefore, they're taking shelter of these things and expecting something different. So madness means to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result every time. One time Prabhupada was he was going to the doctor in Los Angeles, and on the way back from the doctor, he passed by one movie theater, and the movie theater, the title was, "Is There Sex After Death?" So Prabhupada came back and gave a lecture about the topic. And in the lecture, he said, "People, I saw this title of the movie theater." He didn't go and see the movie, but he just saw the title. "Is there sex after death?" So Prabhupada said that you should go and tell everyone that there is sex after death in 8,400,000 species of life. And if you tell the materialists this, then they won't be afraid of dying. They'll think it's all right, no problem. Not only sex after death, but there's eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and all 8,400,000 species of life. And most of those species of life are much more pleasant to live in than the human form of life in present society. Because after all, if you become a dog, especially in modern society, in the Western society, that you get free room, sometimes they have a very nice house for themselves. They get their meals free. They don't have to go to college, pay off their loans. There's no education for the dog. They don't have to go to school. If they have a family, they don't have to pay for the children's education. They don't have to pay for the rent. Everything's free. It's like a dream to be a dog. Free food, free everything. All you do is have to bark once in a while. Then go back to sleep. So this is ideal life. Nowadays, in order to take care of the dog, people are working hard. They're at dog house. The dog is sleeping and eating, and his master is simply working hard to maintain it. There's no divorce in the dog life. There's no insurance. There's no paying off loans. There's no mortgage for your dog house. Everything's provided. Therefore, why should one be afraid of becoming a dog? It's a better life. As one lady said during a lecture of Prabhupada, "Swamiji, you say that if I act sinfully, I'll become a dog in my next lifetime. But I don't mind if I become a dog. I want to become a dog." So Prabhupada said, "You have my blessing." But this is not very good. The aim of life is to get out of the material consciousness back to our spiritual consciousness, because that's what people are really looking for. So Narada Muni will pass by all these places and see more or less the same things going on, life after life, and then he'll sit down and he'll follow the instructions of the sages with full conviction. Not that I'm going to sit here and meditate, but maybe I'm missing something. There is a new 3D movie, maybe I should go and watch it first and then come back and meditate, because maybe I'm missing something really exciting. Oh, after some experience, you realize it doesn't matter what they come up with this year, next year, whatever year it is. It's just going to be a different variety of the same thing over and over again. And as it didn't have much taste the first time or the second time, it won't have any real taste the 100th time or the 1,000,000th time either. There, rather than taking shelter of something temporary, yehi samsparsha bhoga dukha yona evate adyantavanta kuntiya na teshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person doesn't take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the senses or their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. On the other hand, Sparsheva Savasatma Vidya Yatmaniyat Sukham So Brahma Yoga Yuktatma Sukhama Akshayam Ashnute. Such a person is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So as long as we're imagining that by some arrangement in this material world, I'm actually going to be able to find some shelter, then we won't be able to take full shelter of Krishna. Because we have one foot on the boat, one foot on the land, and the boat's pulling out. We have to choose whether we're going to be on the land or in the water, or on the boat, or in the water. So if we don't know if we should really take shelter of Krishna and leave our material shelter behind, then we'll be in a dilemma, thinking that maybe I'll miss something. I'll go back to Vaikuntha and they'll have finally virtual reality. I could have lived in a virtual reality, and I'm here in Vaikuntha washing dishes in the transcendental kitchen forever. There's no end to the dishes. They just keep on coming. And it's uninterrupted service, so there's no break. There's no end to it. Oh, if only I could fall back into Maya again. Everything would be alright. Now one has to become convinced that there won't be any shelter, real shelter, except for Krishna consciousness. And then one can actually take shelter of Krishna consciousness and be able to become sensitive enough, free from anxiety. Because we can't be sensitive if we're full of anxiety. Sensitive enough to actually feel Krishna's presence when we chant Hare Krishna. If we're not willing to take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna won't be willing to reveal himself to us either. If we don't really think Krishna is worthy of taking shelter of, but we think we have so many other shelters, then Krishna will hide behind the shelters and will never experience Krishna consciousness. Naham prakasha sarvasha yoga maya samavrita muda yam navijanandi loko yam ajam avya. I never manifest the foolish and unintelligent, for them I am covered by my creative potency, yoga maya, and so the deluded world knows me not, I am unborn and inexhaustible. So if we don't have faith in Krishna, Krishna won't reveal himself to us, and we'll never have faith in Krishna. So why don't we have faith in Krishna? Because we believe something else will protect us. In America it's 9/11, something goes wrong. We call 9/11 and pray to Krishna afterwards. What do they have here? 111 or something? For emergency? What's that? 3 zeros, yes, and that's what you get. You wind up with zero at the end. Generally call that number, and 2 hours later, people, they come and say, what happened? Like in one country, Botswana, in Africa, devotees, they were being robbed, their store, so they called up the police. And the police said, what kind of weapons do they have? So they said, have an AK-47. They said, all right, we'll be right there. So 5 hours later, they come. Why risk our lives? They're fighting against these people that have better weapons than we have. Well, come by and pick up the dead bodies. See if there's anything that they haven't, the seas haven't taken and we can take it. So we're thinking there's some shelter in the material world. And as long as we think like that, then we won't be able to take shelter of Krishna. And ultimately, Mrityu Sararas Jaham, at the time of death, all our shelters are taken away. We don't know where our next shelter is going to be. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we should become convinced that even though we have to economically develop, we need certain things for this body, because the body is necessary for our engaging devotional service, although we have to satisfy our minds to some degree, but not to take shelter of these things as our only shelter. But we should understand that we're taking shelter of Krishna, and by doing that, simultaneously, Krishna will carry what we lack and preserve what we have. Generally, we have too much, and we won't give up what we don't really need. So we're surprised. Krishna doesn't give us everything we want. He takes away what we think we're attached to. We think that Krishna is not fulfilling our promise. But he carries what we really lack, and he preserves what we really need. And in between, he takes away what we don't need, and he doesn't give us what would be bad for us. So Krishna is actually very kind to us. But because people don't understand that, therefore they're mad after things which are useless, and they won't accept that it's actually valuable. So therefore we have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and find out what's valuable and which is useless or detrimental. And then we can actually make the right decisions and not do the same things over and over again, following the advice of the latest advertisement, whether on the radio, the television, the internet, that this time it's going to be better. We've got it all figured out. So, I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Yes? I wasn't here. I don't know if I can ask.
You mentioned that spiritual energy and material energy will emanate from Krishna in the world.
Yeah.
I was wondering what then is Krishna made of?
Well, there's no material energy. There's only spiritual energy that emanates from it. But we think it's material. That's why for us it's material, but for Krishna it's all spiritual. Anything else? Yes.
How do
you take more shelter of Krishna? That's a really, what is the method of taking shelter of Krishna? You don't know? How long have you been in the movement? Well, let's hear. What are the five primary methods of taking shelter of Krishna in Kali Yuga? You don't sound very convinced. Anything else? Yeah. It's two, it's good. Serving the devotees. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Anyone else know another way? Yes, worshiping the deities. So these are five primary methods. There are other methods too. But somehow or another, Prabhupada said, the art of Krishna consciousness is focusing the mind and giving one's love to Krishna. So we have to focus our mind on it, not get distracted by, generally people get distracted by hopes of romance. Romeo, Juliet, Minnie Mouse, Tarzan and Jane, somewhere or another. This romance will be real romance. It's Radha and Krishna there, and me and he here. So that's what we get distracted by. And then there's little things in between. So if we give that up, whatever degree we can give that idea up of romance, then we can actually focus the mind on Krishna. Otherwise, it's very difficult. So we'll imagine somewhere or another some ideal, some dreamland where she's my faithful goddess of fortune, he's my two-handed Narayan. We have. have our Chintamani Palace, the best place in Vaikuntha. We have our Garuda, the newest, just right out of the factory. Our expansions are all plenary. They all go to the best schools and have the big. They're all self-effulgent lawyers and doctors. So we're just dreaming that this will be, life will be sublime, and but it doesn't work like that. Maybe to some small extent, but never to the extent we want it. And no one lives happily ever after. At least not in this body. Anything else? Yes. Well, what do you mean by testing increasing? What does that mean? She's not testing you now? You want her to increase it? Well, Maya is an equal opportunity employer. She employs everyone equally. It may become more subtle in some sense, but I mean, it's more or less, it's not that our attachments are that different. We're just basically attached to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So how much more difficult do her tests have to become? The question is how much we take shelter of Krishna. You know, it's not that now I'm chanting very nicely and then the ceiling caves in. Maya thinks, oh, and we need something really difficult. Take the ceiling cave in and keep on chanting. I don't think it works like that exactly. That we have all, the more we advance, the more trouble we have to look forward to. Maybe it becomes more aware, we become more aware of the subtlety of our attachments. If there's any test, it's that we're, you know, the more subtle the attachment, usually the stronger it is, the more basic it is. The closer we get to the false ego, the harder it is to give things up. We'll do anything as long as our false ego is protected. Anything else? Yes. Getting a higher taste. Getting a higher taste, higher. Because unless we feel some pleasure, unless we feel something positive, or Krishna says, tu shanti ta ramanti cha, unless we feel at least some satisfaction, if not pleasure, then there's no impetus to go on with what we're doing. So at least, even if we're not feeling emotionally inspired, even if we're not feeling physically enlivened, but at least if intellectually, conceptually, we can see a better future, if we're hopeful, then we may become more steady and stay with it. Keep with what we're doing. But if we think, oh, there's no future, there is no hope, there is no clear understanding when it's been, what the path is, then obviously, at the first opportunity, we'll jump off the boat and hoping we'll get a better future somewhere else. Anything else? Yes?
What would be a good way, not the best way, to remain impersonal to their servants?
Well, I guess the best way of reminding anyone that they're a servant is for us to become a servant. And if we become a servant of Krishna is authorized representatives, and then they'll empower us, they'll use us as an instrument to help others become understand how they're a servant also. But if we're not aware of the fact that we're a servant, it's going to be very hard to convince anyone else that they're a servant also. Actually, if we're not convinced that we're a servant, really what we're telling everyone else is that they should become a servant of us. That's not going to work, because people didn't come to this material world to become our servants. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.